keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, we're going to set it on its head now. Listen, here's what we do every day. You hear Bernie Sanders and Hillary, they all talking about a free education. We offer a free education Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 right here on the Steve Gruber Show. Tell your liberal friends, absolutely free. Bring a notepad and plenty of things to write with, because you'll need to keep up with what we're talking about. Because today we're going to set the whole world on its ear. My next guest, John M. DeChicco, is a U of M Energy Institute research professor. And apparently we have discovered that biofuels are worse for the environment, worse for climate change than gasoline, according to a big study. John, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right, lay it out for me.
Sure. Well, a lot of people have always thought that biofuels were so-called carbon neutral, meaning...
Okay, you know what? Let's stop right there, because we need a little education.
Sure.
What is a biofuel?
Oh, sure, yes. Well, ethanol is the most popular biofuel, has been for many years. You know, some of us like to use it to fuel ourselves, but the corn farmers years ago got the idea, hey, we could sell more corn if we got the government to require that some of our corn get mashed and distilled into close to 100 proof to put in our cars.
Sure. Now, why do they call it biofuels? Because you can do the same thing with, like, switchgrass and corn and other biomass, correct?
Well, that's it. It's basically fuels from biology, right? You know, a lot of people say, well, hey, this is great, this is new. You know, but it's a form of nature's own fuel. I mean,
creating ethanol
didn't invent fermentation.
Right.
It happened in nature. And, you know, years ago,
a few thousand years ago, some schmuck was...
caveman learned to harness that and
exactly.
Make brew.
some schmuck was wandering through the woods and started, you know, sipping on the stuff that had gone sour. And next thing you know, he was, you know, back home watching football and having children. Anyhow, so tell me about how this study worked, because it says that biofuels, that being ethanol, that being corn, and all this biomass we're talking about, algae, not as good for the environment as we were once led to believe.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it depends. I mean, the PR around biofuels has thrown out lots of words that, you know, your listeners just heard. Corn, algae, switchgrass, and whatnot. It's important to sort of be real about what's going on here. Nobody's figured out how to make biofuels from switchgrass, okay? Nobody's figured out how to make biofuels from algae. What we're doing with biofuels is really just two things. One is industrial scale corn liquor production, better known as the ethanol that goes into a lot of our gas tanks.
Few oak barrels and we'd be in business.
And the other thing is we squish soybeans to make vegetable oil out of soybeans, and then you do a little bit of processing of that, and that turns into biodiesel. So these other things that people talk about that the government's been sponsoring research on for decades, like switchgrass, the hope was that we could make biofuels out of switchgrass or straw or leftover debris from cropland that, you know, was not harvested.
Any biomass.
Turn that into fuel, and then it wouldn't compete with, it wouldn't detract from the grains and crops that we need for food. So that is, let's put it this way, I call those fantasy fuels. They've been highly subsidized from the government literally decades, since the 70s is when that started. And it's one of these things where you're saying, well, look, okay, maybe it's not such a good idea to take corn and divert it and turn that into fuel for our cars because that, you know, detracts from the food system. Maybe it's not such a good thing to take soybeans and turn it into fuel for our trucks. So we're going to make the fuel out of these other things. Just wait, and we're going to do that. Well, that's not what's happened. What's really happened is over the last decade, with a government mandate known as the Renewable Fuel Standard, we've taken what used to be a small fraction of our corn crop that was used to make ethanol and low-level blends, and more than tripled how much corn is going into fuel, so that nearly 40% of the country's corn harvest is going into fuel to power just 6% of the fuel we use in gasoline.
Right, but it hasn't, you know, and I talk to farmers, I got farmers and my friends, we don't have an impact on the food cycle. We don't have an impact on food pricing. Cornflakes are still cheap. And high fructose corn syrup is in pretty much every damn thing you buy.
You know, Steve, it's a little more subtle than that. You don't take 40% of your crop and use it for something without ultimately having an impact on prices. Now, that may be hard to see because commodity prices, corn prices, soybean prices, just like oil prices, are volatile. They go up and down depending on what's going on in the market. But I assure you, ethanol wouldn't have great support in the farming community, and it does if it wasn't in their monetary interest.
Well, I think that we've got a lot of farmland in America.
That little bit of extra money that's hidden in the volatility of prices, it's wonderful for farmers. I don't dispute that. But that is a kind of a slick way of picking everybody else in the country's pocket.
Well, fair enough. But my point being is if you need 40% more corn, we've got a lot of extra real estate in America, a lot of dirt. And if we wanted to build ethanol plants, I just don't think that it's very efficient overall. It takes three units.
That's the bottom line. That, you know, that really brings it back to my study here, is that a lot of folks, and I don't pin this part on the corn farmers or anything like that, this really goes to the government and in particular the folks at what is known as Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois, part of the heart of the Corn Belt.
Real quick.
Have been saying that this ethanol is better for the environment, and that's what I take issue with.
And it's just not, according
it's
to what you found.
Not.
All right. Well, I greatly appreciate it. We should have you back to explore that a little bit more. We needed an education here. Greatly appreciate it, my friend.
You're quite welcome.
John M. DeChicco, UM Energy Institute Research Professor. We'll have a few more thoughts right after this. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of The Steve Gruber Show.